Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And now we'll talk about a major career change. No, it's not Hillary Clinton's, but it might be yours. We will have Ciara Pressler with us in just a minute, the author of a new career change handbook for musicians, singers, actors, and dancers who are thinking about getting out of the industry or getting a supporting career, what we call a day job, or rebooting their work. And she'll have advice for those of you thinking about that change. So we are opening up the phones right now. If you're a performer and maybe that life on Broadway or off Broadway isn't working out so well, call in with your question about the transition, 212-433-WNYC. Maybe you're at that fraught moment in your life where you're considering giving up on your performing career or thinking about what comes next or how to save it with supplementary work. If you've done this, if you transitioned from struggling musician to successful whatever, call in and tell us how you've done it or ask a question of Ciara Pressler, about to join us with her book, Exit Stage Right, The Career Change Handbook for Performers, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. We'll take your calls and bring on Ciara right after this. And with me now is Ciara Pressler, author of Exit Stage Right, the Career Change Handbook for Performers. It breaks down steps that various kinds of performers should take when changing careers, as well as advice everyone can use about personal branding and marketing yourself to potential employers. And we'll take your stories, we'll take your questions, 212-433-WNYC. But this is a sad book, right? This is for people at that point where they realize what they came to New York dreaming to make it at, or maybe grew up here and still dreaming to make it at, just isn't working out.
It's not a sad book. When I started writing it, it was a sad book. And then I rewrote it realizing that there are three choices.
And I don't mean to say it's a sad book. It's a sad premise.
No, I don't think so. I think understanding what you really want now versus what you wanted when you were 22 is a very happy and positive thing. Performers get stuck no matter where they are, if they're winning gold statues or if they're still looking for their first big show. So they have three choices. They can either fix what's not working, they can either get a better support career, or they can change careers altogether. And I just want to help them create a system for evaluating that.
Allison in Dover has a story. Hi, Allison. Whoops. Sorry, my fault. Now we have you on the air, Allison. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So you're a pianist?
I am. I've played piano ever since I was 8 years old, and I moved to New York in 2001 to pursue my career and my dream of being a full-time musician. And just as soon as I got there, all the struggles that come along with that hit me as well. And almost immediately, I started thinking about how else I can achieve the other dreams I had, to have a family one day, to feel some sort of security and retire eventually. And it just didn't seem like anything that would be possible at that rate.
So what'd you do?
So I went back to college, and I supported myself through college by playing gigs, and it became more of a, I kind of gradually transitioned to part-time musician, full-time student. And I studied chemistry, and now I'm in my senior year of medical school.
Huh.
And
so
it's a big switch.
That's a big switch from musician to doctor. And
it is.
And I'm sure you still love playing, right?
I do. I play in the hospital lobbies. It makes the patients feel good. And, you know, the whole reason I want to heal people is so they can themselves enjoy the arts, as I do.
Allison, thank you so much for your call. There's an ultimate success story.
I love that story. I think there are so many skills that we learn when we start out as performers, or if we were performers in high school and college, that can translate to completely different industries, and that's a great example.
Justin in Fort Greene, you're on the air. Hi, Justin.
Hi. Good to talk to you. My story is slightly different in that I worked in the music industry for almost 20 years and worked really closely with artists during that whole period. And I actually transitioned out of music about 3 years ago and moved into dealing in industrial antiques, which was my other passion. My theory was that, you know, the reason I got into music was because I was so passionate about it. And I guess my suggestion for people who are artists who are transitioning into other things are to, you know, to follow similar passions, and you kind of can't go wrong.
Justin, thank you very much. So, Ciara, the subtitle of your book is The Career Change Handbook for Performers. Is there a distinction in your mind between how a performer changes careers and how a visual artist or writer does it? Why did you say handbook for performers?
Well, that's my background. I started as an actor, and then I transitioned to a career in marketing, and now I have my own firm. But I do think there is a consideration for all creative people that's different than maybe somebody else who's changing careers, and that's passion. The last caller really hit it on the head. And, you know, I attack this idea in the book of your passion must be your career. I think it should guide your choices, but some passions don't translate to careers very readily. So how do you make all of that make sense so that your whole life is working? I think there are a lot of people pursuing their passions and the rest of their lives are a mess. So how do you create that balance that will be sustainable for your entire professional life?
And how did that transition work for you?
I developed my own process, which is why I ended up writing a book about it. I was performing, I was writing, I was producing, I was directing, I was bartending, and I sort of just hit a wall. And I took 3 months, did a bunch of investigation, informational interviews. I did an internship in politics. I volunteered during a big campaign year. It was 05, and freelanced. And I finally ended up in a marketing career, which, you know, when I look back in hindsight, the writing was always on the wall that I should be doing marketing and publicity. But I was at a career coaching firm doing the marketing. And so I got to see what made people successful in their careers sort of from the other side of the table.
Justin in Harlem, you're on the air. Hi, Justin.
Hi.
You have a question, right?
I'm sorry?
You have a question? You're looking for advice?
Well, actually, I just wanted to share my experience. I'm a dancer here in New York. I just moved to the city 2 years ago, and I danced for the Metropolitan Opera. I'm also an older dancer and on my way, you know, looking to another career as an acupuncturist and a Chinese medical herbalist. But I just wanted to say that, you know, one of the most difficult things for a performer to do is to find something after they leave the stage that still fulfills them artistically and can carry them through the, you know, rest of their years. And there's a really great organization here in New York called Career Transitions for Dancers that has really helped me immensely, both with financial support and guidance in transitioning out of that career. And I'm not sure if your guest has any input on other organizations, either for musicians or actors that function similar to Career Transitions for Dancers.
Justin, thank you. Sia?
Yeah, Career Transition was very helpful, actually, in structuring this book. Their advice is in it. There's also the Actors Fund has a program that helps actors find parallel careers. There's a wonderful program through St. Mary's College called LEAP that allows dancers to get their bachelor's degree while they're performing. But the organizations have requirements for qualification. They often relate to how much you're working or your union status. And I wouldn't have qualified for those during my transition. So I'm hoping this resource will fill that gap for other types of performers.
Justin, thanks. Robin in Westwood, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Oh, hi. Good morning. And great show. And kudos to the young lady who wrote this book. I think it's like one of these things that was long overdue. I was an actor for many years here in New York City and in Los Angeles. And as I was transitioning out of it, I sort of faced that dead blank wall of, well, how do I actually take all the skills that I did as an actor and put them into, quote unquote, the real world? And the first thing was the resume. And how do you write like an effective resume? And I realized, you know, as an actor, I was a product, and I had a product that had to be created, that had to be cared for, had to be marketed, had to be sold, and that it had to be maintained over and over. When I started thinking like that, then I started realizing there's an enormous amount of skills that I have that were actually tangible out in the real world. Successfully and happily, you know, I made a wonderful career out into technology first and then into sales.
But then what were those skills that you were able to take from your performing career into technology and sales, which would sound like they're very different?
technology was, it was the circumstances. I just happened to be in the early days of word processing, and that was a support job that I had as an actor.
I see. So you were learning that skill outside. And, Robin, I'm sorry, we don't actually have a great phone connection, so I'm going to have to leave it there. But I appreciate the story. And, Ciara, I think it goes to another theme of your book, which is how a performing career can be translated into a more business-oriented resume.
Yeah, part of it is the support work you did during your career. I was fortunate to arrive in New York during the first dot-com boom and get some tech experience. And then I worked for a mutual fund, both in sort of a marketing capacity. So I was building those skills. But the performance skills, like operating under deadline, being able to collaborate, adapting to new situations, learning very quickly, being directable, are a lot of skills that work in almost any industry.
How do you explain long stretches of being unemployed when you're making this transition? You cite a stat in the book that fewer than 15% of actors' equity members work during any given week.
Well, you know, part of this book is being realistic about the lifestyle of performing or any career. I encourage people to investigate the lifestyle that goes along with a career. And, you know, I hope that kids who are in college or parents who are sending their kids to college for a BFA will read this book to understand you have to be prepared for that. So having a parallel career, even if you're making plenty of money as a performer, to have something to keep you emotionally stable during those weeks of unemployment is vital.
Greg in Manhattan wants to flip the script, I think. Hi, Greg.
Hi, how are you, Brian?
Good. What's
Thanks
your question?
Thanks for having me. I'm curious what your advice is for, or your guest's advice is for someone who's an actor that currently has a day job that would be interested in making the switch. But I'm someone who's an actor in New York. I have a day job. I rush off to rehearsals and classes every night, and I haven't really created the opportunities yet where I've been put in that position where I have to determine, you know, one or the other. But I guess right now it's called a hobby, but it is
But so you're trying to make a performing hobby more central to your professional life.
Exactly. And I'm interested to see what your advice is for someone who's on that path.
Or Ciara, is that just somebody else's book?
No, I think that's in this book because the whole first section is how to fix your career if it's stalled. So, you know, the first thing is you're doing it right. You're getting the experience while you still have support. Do very good work at your day job because that could turn into a, you know, freelance business you can do on your own time to sustain your performing business later on. The other thing is please, please, please learn about the business of the business. There are tons of career resources out there now to teach you the business side of performing. I list them all on the ExitStageRight.org website, or the ones that I think are legitimate. And there's plenty of ways that you can learn how to write a business plan for yourself, budget, brand yourself, market yourself as a performer, which is all the business side aspects.
We're almost out of time, but what percentage of people transitioning away from the performing arts are just disgusted with it and never want to have anything to do with it again? I have a friend who is a brilliant classical cellist, and he was first seed in several smaller orchestras, but he was making like $13,000 a year, year after year. And he finally gave it up and went into international trade. And he sold his cello and never wanted to see it again. And that was 20 years ago.
You know, that was my story. I really hit a wall because I burned myself out doing too many different things. But I hope you don't get to that point. You know, the more honest with you are about yourself, about where you are in your life and what you want, the more successful you'll be.
Ciara Pressler, author of Exit Stage Right, the Career Change Handbook for Performers. I guess Secretary of State doesn't count as a performing art, so you have no career advice for Hillary Clinton?
All politicians are performers.
True, true, true. Ciara, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.